celebrate America's independence with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 3rd, with the Pickering Family Singers. It all starts at 10 a.m. with the Pickering Family Singers in concert. The concert is followed by a message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Then it's an old-fashioned barbecue with pork, chicken, and all the fixings on the church grounds. Everything is free. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about living in Sodom. Living in Sodom. You might say, what does that mean? At your leisure, go back to the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, and I'll read just a few verses. The setting is, verse 1, there came 2 angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and bowed himself, that's showing respect, and face toward the ground, with his face toward the ground. He had invited them to come in his home. And verse 4 says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, that is, the reprobates, that's discussed in Romans chapter 1, the reprobates of the city, the men of the city, the Sodomites of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, that is, all ages, young men, old men, from all parts of the city. Verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. That's a euphemism, know them, that we might have sex with them. It is the Sodomites, the homosexuals, that caused God, the homosexual act, that caused God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 24 and 25 of chapter 19, the book of Genesis. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah fire and brimstone from the Lord of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains, that is, all the communities, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. It is, ladies and gentlemen, a distressing study when you look at it and understand how God viewed Sodom and Gomorrah of that era, that day. And God is immutable. That means he's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture says. And as a result of that, if God destroyed 2 cities and all the plains, all the communities about it, and all the people therein, as a result of the Sodomite lifestyle, what are we going to find today as a result of what we see taking place? And today, ladies and gentlemen, it's like you watch the kettle boiling until it's blown the top off, blown the lid off, and that's what we see now spewing out in America with the push of vulgarities and wickedness and vileness, visceral statements coming out of the hearts and the mouths of those that disagree with the conservative Christian standpoint. You got people like Maxine Waters, said the U.S. Supreme Court should be eradicated. You've got Maxine Waters shares an article. Maxine Waters says to blank with the Supreme Court. We'll defy them. Maxine Waters called out the Supreme Court on Friday in the most unhinged reaction of the overturning of the Roe versus Wade, vowing to defy the highest court in the land. Among prominent Democrats with the most unhinged responses of this decision were Waters and two other female Democrat leaders, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, better known as AOC. According to a crowd of radical pro-abortion protesters outside the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., Waters advocating the violating of the law by defying any court ruling. Quote, women are going to control their bodies no matter how they try to stop us, she shouted. We'll defy the courts. At almost the same time, Ocasio-Cortez joined the protest outside the court in chanting illegitimacy, etc., etc. People will die, she says, because of this decision. New York Congresswoman said Friday on Twitter, and quote, and we will never stop until abortion rights are restored in the United States of America. As she began her Friday press conference, Pelosi glumly told the reporters, there's no point in saying good morning because it certainly is not a good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at what is said by these leaders, so-called leaders, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, etc., they're calling for riots. And yet they're supposedly not having January the 6th committee to determine whether or not it was President Trump that caused a, quote, insurrection or riot at the Capitol. And yet we see these doing the same. Just a couple of months back, you know, Chuck Schumer stood out in front of the Supreme Court building with his fist in the air and said that he was challenging the Supreme Court and that they would, quote, come and get the Supreme Court justices if they made the wrong decision in the ruling that they just recently handed down. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching is a opening the door of the demonic spirits that have been welled up and operating in America for years and years and years. This didn't just happen. The U.S. Supreme Court's decisions that's just been made is the capstone. It is the trigger that's causing all of this now to come flooding out as though it has just taken place. Most of the big box stores, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of these decisions, most of the big box stores, the big corporate entities, are now paying their employees to travel to other states to get their child murdered in the womb. Yes, listen to this lineup. This is just a small sampling, ladies and gentlemen, of the companies that are now paying their employees to travel to other states to have murder by way of abortion, paying for their salary, paying for their travel, paying for the abortion process to take place. Companies like Disney, Starbucks, Citigroup banks, Apple, Tesla, Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, Uber, Netflix, Levi Strauss, Warner Brothers Disney, JP Morgan Chase, Nike, CVS Pharmacy, Dick's Sporting Goods, Kroger, Goldman Sachs, Zillow, and ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on. Simply put, we're watching the, as my mother used to call it, the skeletons coming out of the closet. We're watching the end result. And it's the fact that we are seeing this, ladies and gentlemen, is indicative of the fact that just as we find in the Genesis text of what I call living in Sodom, we're living in Sodom today. And those that are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-morals, anti-values, anti-family are now coming to the forefront to finish eviscerating the foundation, the Judeo-Christian values in America. And the Bible says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over to the question or comment, please.
You know, it was said years ago by, of all folks, Ravi Zacharias, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And I think that is applicable in some of these scenarios which you've brought out in the way of these different judicial decisions, and the way many of these things were viewed by segments of the church for decades.
Yes.
You have many times that the church has decided, you know, we'll give this ground, we'll not pursue, you know, this is not for us to, you know, this arena is not for us to step into. And others warn, hey, this is not just a slippery slope, but this is devastation. And of course, years back, it was, we just want to have the ability to kill our babies. They didn't say that. We want the privacy, and that's what they use, the privacy provision, in conjunction with equal protection of the 14th Amendment, which is a very, very, very loose construct. The idea that that privacy allows you to kill someone so long as you do it privately, absurd. I mean, just completely absurd. However, that's the way it began. And as you fast forward, very quickly it was, oh, now we want for taxpayer dollars to fund this. It's not we want to be able to do this. Now we want you, believers, through your taxes to pay for this. And the same thing can be said, you know, for years, and some of the laws went far beyond, but for years dealing with homosexuality, there were laws on the books in states, and you go, it's not a state's right or privilege. I mean, matter of fact, that's where you go, yeah, you don't have the right to search unlawfully without good reason, and you have to specify the reason and specify the places. But you had raids taking place that should not have taken place dealing with homosexuality. However, we just want to be left alone. We just want to be able to do what we want to do. That was not the truth. But it took, in going down that path, took us farther than we wanted to go. Now they, of course, have redefined the word marriage. That's a definition that we find in the scripture. That is an ordinance of religion. This is where government stepped in and overstepped their bounds by redefining a word. I don't see any authority in Article 3 of the Constitution that authorizes the judiciary. I don't see an authority there for them to redefine a word. When you have a properly defined word, you stick with the definition. If you don't stick with the definition, then words don't mean anything. Literally, if you can change the definition of a word on a contract, let me see the person that'll sign the contract on a piece of real estate, because we can change the definition of the word acre, and all of a sudden you might not end up with what you thought you were going to end up with. We changed the definition of words fee simple. Dad, you know all about that. We changed the definition of those words, and all of a sudden you may not be getting all of the property. You may be just getting something less than accept, but you don't know it because they're redefining words. But we allow that word to be redefined, and then you fast forward, and now we are funding through our Department of Prisons, through our Department of Defense and other agencies, we are funding transition surgeries and chemical therapies. I mean, a person may very well spend $1 million dealing with chemical therapies and radical redefining that's terrible surgery, radically mutilating surgery that you, the taxpayer, we, the taxpayer, are being compelled. Has sin not taken us further than we wanted to go? Kept us longer than we want to stay, and cost us far, far, far more than we ever expected or wanted to pay? I think it has. I think it has.
Absolutely. And Greg, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg, one of our four sons. Greg lives up in the southern tip of heaven, up in that place called Tennessee. What's the weather up there like today, Greg?
It is absolutely astounding. I'm not going to tell you how beautiful it is because we don't need any more people coming to the state. We're getting a flood. I mean, Tennessee, Texas, and Florida have literally people are coming here every single day, many of them trying to get away from radical leftist blue states, and I understand that. And if you do come here, if you're listening to this broadcast today and you do come here, please don't bring your radical leftist ways with you. I love this. This is the southern tip of heaven, and I'd kind of like it to stay that way.
Amen. Don't want intrusions in that southern tip of heaven. Greg, you touched on what is being expended. I'm looking at an article that says the Justice Department now soliciting $1 million for an LGBTQ+ and Two-Spirit Youth Center. U.S. Department of Justice, DOJ, is fielding applications for a grant totaling $1 million to go toward the creation of an LGBTQ and Two-Spirit Youth National Resource Center. The program is also being offered through the DOJ's Office of Justice Programs and Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency, which provides federal leadership and grants and sponsor research. Quote, This program furthers the department's mission by supporting juvenile justice systems reform by providing training and technical assistance to juvenile justice practitioners to assist them in meeting the needs of justice involved LGBTQ and Two-Spirit youth to ensure that contact with the juvenile justice system is rare, fair, and beneficial. The Resource Center will distribute online curriculum, toolkits, and other information about the practice of the programs, according to the DOJ, for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, queer, intersex, gender non-conforming, and two-spirit youths in an umbrella term
are the youths that are identified.
Greg, you couldn't have said it better than this article is explaining it, that the government is spending money and spending taxpayer dollars on implementing things that the Word of God, God's Word, hates and condemns.
Yeah, it's not good enough that a person engaged in all manner of sin be allowed to engage in that, because I'd almost take a libertarian approach. You do what you would like to do. However, if you want to teach my kids to do that, we've got a problem. If you want me to pay for that, we've got a problem. If you want me to say it's okay and not sinful, we've got a problem, okay? And in this case, what is it? Did you say two-spirit? T-W-O, the number two, spirit.
Yes,
plural.
That's what it's called.
Okay. Now that kind of throws me, because with this gender identity garbage that we've got going on today, and we know there are two genders. You have males and females, and you have 70-some-odd, delusional thoughts. You have 70-some-odd, different kinds of psychological disorders. Psychosis that's at work in a person's life. Two-spirit, you have folks within these gender ideologies, these gender identities, that want to be referred to by the pronoun they, the pronouns they or them. That's a plural. Those are plural pronouns, right?
Yes.
Now, this two-spirit, that doesn't work unless, of course, you're possessed, okay?
That's it.
I don't get it. This is kind of an out and in your face. We have possession apparently taking place, and folks are like with the other letters in this acronym, they're proud of it. It's like I'm possessed. You can't say anything. You can't disagree with me, and I'm proud of it. You need to celebrate with me. The idea of dragging a person along across the line, basically, want to mute you. We want you to shut your mouth. By the way, years ago, I had a little bit of a disagreement with a police chief in South Florida. I'd gone in after a hurricane, and this police chief didn't want me to be there, but I was there lawfully, and I was helping folks. And at a certain point, we were talking, and he said, "Shut up." And I'm going, this is just me and you. There may be 19 other officers you brought with you to back you up. This is just me and you, and I don't believe that's a lawful order, so I'm not going to shut up. We're going to speak as men. And he disagreed with that and continued to want me to shut up. And long story on that. But the left always wants to mute you, shut you up. That's why they use platforms like Twitter and Facebook and all these other social media platforms to shut people up. So that's the first. We're going to get you to shut up. Then we're going to get you to engage on the terms that we want you to engage. That's the mandatory pronoun uses. Then they compel you to pay to engage. Let me take your tax dollars and force you to pay for me to engage in the lifestyle I want to engage in. That's keeping you longer than you want to stay and making you pay more than you want to pay. Sin always takes you down that track, that path.
Greg, hold your thought just a moment. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Youngblood Clan. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing good. That's kind of disturbing, Dr. Youngblood and Greg. Just the whole thing that youth, transgender, and Department of Justice, and they've actually making a grant for it. I wonder where the outrage would be if they made a grant and they called it the Abstinence for Youth for Abstinence and Solid Marriage and Family Foundations.
Good question. Good insight.
Deserves another.
That's right. Good question. Good insight. Greg, how do you respond to that inquiry?
I continue to say, especially within government, neutrality is a myth. neutrality is a myth. Someone's morals, someone's standards will prevail. And in this case, the left has prevailed with their immorality for decades, to the point that anything that smacks of decency, of morality, of honor, of integrity, is spit out, rejected. They're willing to burn cities to the ground while rejecting anything that's decent and moral and right. And watch it. That's coming. We saw the Summer of Love a couple summers ago with the BLM Antifa rallies that left called mostly peaceful protest. This is mm-hmm. coming again with the disdain, with the frothing anger that they've built up. The idea of losing a Supreme Court justice to an assassination is a real possibility today. I had that discussion with a federal judge recently, just saying, you know, what about this? Why do we have a Justice Department not engaging? Why? There's the risk of losing a judge, and that will, in my opinion, be an act of war, because that justice, if a conservative justice, if a constitutional justice, if an originalist justice is removed from the court right now, who would replace that justice? Well, liberal leftist Joe Biden and all of his ilk would replace that justice with a rabid leftist justice and radically impact our future. Mm-hmm. Now, the left is willing to kill over 60 million innocent lives through what we call abortion. Do you think that they care one whit about a justice on the Supreme Court? If it gets them what they want, and literally, I'm just reiterating what I'm seeing and hearing in the street by the radical leftist today. When you have your Maxine Waters types and your Chuck Schumer's types that are literally articulating the words that would send that frothy anger into the streets, and then potentially, I mean, we saw the one that was caught. How many more? We saw the one that was caught that showed up intending to take the life of was it Gorsuch or Kavanaugh? He was after Kavanaugh. The life of Kavanaugh, Kavanaugh, and he had the planning, the materials. He was ready to commit the act.
Jim, how do you respond to that?
I concur wholeheartedly there. I just, the whole thing is disturbing because we're seeing a dual justice system here
yes.
as well that will not enforce the laws as they currently stand. I look at it and I see BLM and Jane's Revenge as political arms that are willing to do the bidding of the liberal left and the Democrats to further an agenda through literal terroristic ideologies and actions.
You're exactly right, Jim. One of the things that we need to recognize is much of what we're faced with today in America, the results of what we're seeing can be traced back to weakness, spineless preachers in the pulpits refusing to take a stand on the whole Word of God. We've got an article here. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
God bless you. Keep looking up. Have an article here, Greg, that says, it started with the removal of God, how atheists and socialists have now fought America from within. A French teacher dressed in drag started strutting his stuff before students in Wisconsin High School. In Michigan, a state attorney general mocked conservatives during a civil rights summit, saying that drag queens are not a problem for kids seeking a good education. Drag queens make everything better. Drag queens are fun. Drag queens are entertainment. Drag queens should be in every school, end quote. In school districts throughout America, parents are demanding that teachers stop instructing their children about gender fluidity, critical race theory, and transsexual surgeries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then the article further says it happened gradually, and then it happened suddenly. And what we see, Greg, is the faltering of faith in the pulpits. Could you speak to that as you understand it with what has been happening in America from our pulpits and the weakness that brought this, allowed this to come about?
The reality of disengagement, goes to exactly what you've recently discussed about 37% of pastors having a biblical worldview. Many of them have adopted the worldview of your David French's of the world, of your, forget his first name, Chang's of the world, you know, Harvard graduate with a divinity degree that has very little deep knowledge of the scripture. But he has a divinity degree, and he's advising pastors and Christians and believers. The problems begin in the pulpits and the training classes, the seminary classes across America and around the world that teach liberal ideology in place of biblical authority. You had your ERLC head and the Southern Baptist Convention, Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission head within the Southern Baptist Convention for years, adopting leftist ideology in place of biblical authority. If you can't stand on biblical authority and call right right and wrong wrong, if you can't identify sin, then you need to step out of the pulpit. It's not the place for you. There's a judgment that's coming for you because you're not teaching the word. The damage that's been done, and Jim, and this is on another note, Jim just mentioned kind of the dual justice system. We, right on the heels of this good decision in striking down Casey and Roe v. Wade, we're seeing district attorneys across the United States that are saying, we're going to use our broad power of discretion to not enforce laws dealing with restrictions on abortions, restrictions on abortion clinics and abortion providers, abortion doctors. Do you understand where we're going? We're going to a new kind of tyranny. That tyranny was introduced in greater or a smaller measure by Barack Hussein Obama, that chose that he would not defend the Defense of Marriage Act. That was a federal code that, so it said, we're going to recognize marriage between one man and one woman. Understand, right. We're in an adversarial system, and when you fail to provide a defense, things fall apart. Believers should stand and be salt and light today. That's what needs to happen. The pulpit needs to grow a backbone and preach the word of God without apology. That's what
absolutely
needs to happen today.
In fact, Greg, in wrapping up our thoughts, I'm looking at an article that makes this statement. I quote this. At one time, the people of our nation honored and revered God as our creator and sustainer and held his word as the ultimate truth, something to be studied intensely and taught to our children and our grandchildren. But today, most Americans don't even know who God is. Children are raised in godless homes, and all the people do what they feel right in their own eyes. Further, it says, and I quote, this is what has happened when we create a false God, false religion in our own imaginations. Understand, God is not here to serve us. We're here to serve and obey him. Greg, thank you so much for taking time out to join us on the broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.